The last day of 2017. Believe that?
No.
Well, I see we got a few today. You know, I know it's cold outside, so all you brave few that made it out today. I know you guys, when I get out of bed this morning, I know you struggled to get here, but I'm glad to see everybody here today, this morning. All right, well, let's stand on up. Put our hands together.
your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you, I freely live my life to you, oh God, I give. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice because you set me free. So I'll shout out your name.
Calling, oh, come to to prayer right now. Rodney is over here. He just needs some medical attention, so we're just going to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we just want to lift up Rodney and in this place that he's here. We're thankful that he's here right now where he's being ministered to, not only by your Holy Spirit, but also by some medical staff and people that are here. God, just bring healing and whatever's going on. And God, we will give you joy in this entire service and give you praise for all that you're doing in the midst of his life and everyone else is here. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. You can go ahead and take a seat. You don't have to stand the whole time. All right, you can turn on some lights. Okay, there. All right. So we're glad that he's here. This isn't the first time this happened in a service. It happens a lot, but we're glad that he's here where people are getting the right attention and stuff that they need, health attention. So he's doing good. He's got a good nurse. She's my wife. So. All right, everyone. I'm going to say Happy New Year, whatever that means. Happy new tax year. Yeah, I know. Hey, but they say we're going to get a break. I don't know. We'll find out next year, won't we? We have a couple of prayer requests that we want to lift up. Number one, continue to put Rodney on your list. Let's look at some announcements. If you're joining us today, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Whether you're joining online, as people tend to be traveling and doing all the holiday stuff, number one, be careful. Number two, we are glad that you are here. And there's also a wheelchair back there if he needs one. So he looks like he's doing well. All right. Rob, we'll be praying for you. All right. And Jane, also, whatever you need, let us know. All right. Okay. So, again, you can see the information about if you're interested in membership. Today is the last day for 2017 giving. If you want to go ahead and give to be on this year's, go ahead and give that today. Sometime today, if you're online, you can do the same thing. A couple other things. There's a new Sunday morning Bible study that's going on called Not a Fan. If you're interested in that, it will begin January 21st at 8:30, and they will meet there. You can see that the books are $10 to $12. And so you can take a look at that if you'd like to. Angel Tree, great job, right, Jen? Okay. For those who gave, provided over 60 gifts. That's $1,500 in value and enabled Christmas for 15 people who would not have had it otherwise. So thank you. Our next parish foundation is the 21st. January? Okay. All right, so get ready for February. You get 1 month off. Okay, so the nurses are going to take, they're taking care of everything. They're taking care of prisoners and also Parish Foundation. So, but everything's, my appreciation for all those who dedicate your time to Parish Foundation. It's been a great ministry this year, and we know that we've, I'm thankful to Mike for the transition. We know that was part of Bonnie Racine's heart from day one, and with her passing, we're thankful to Mike and everyone else who's jumped in and continue to do that. Just anything else we're going to see, just take a look at lots of stuff. We're going to have a lot of other announcements popping on here in a little bit. Jen Legullo asked for prayers for the youth rally for January 5th through the 7th, and also pray for Stephen ministers and their care receivers as well. Also pray for, when I think of the youth rally, I also want to keep the others from our church that are going, taking part of that. Pray particularly for the Musoff family. You know that Teresa's father isn't actively passing away. But I also learned last week that Andy's grandfather died. So they had a lot going on. So continue to lift them up in your prayers in that situation. Ginny has asked for prayers for Marty Ham, who's in the hospital with double pneumonia, and they found fluid around her heart. So we want to lift her in your prayers as well, okay? Is there any other prayer requests that we need to touch on? before we go. And don't put the Ravens on. I know you want them to be on this, in the playoffs, but now you can. I don't care. All right, any others that we need to pray for? Definitely put Rodney Guyverson on the prayer list today for what's going on there. All right? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we come to you today, and we're thankful for another year in service and worship with you. We thank you for all the joys that you have brought to us, things that we did not even recognize that may have happened. You brought to fruition things that that we sought to do, and you blessed more than we ever thought. And so, God, as we take this time to thank you for all those things throughout this year, we also look forward to another year in service to you, another year in ministry. For many of us, 2017 is a mixture of both joy and of sorrow. Whatever it may be, God, you are with us all through that. And as we start this new year, God, just help us to just see something new in you. And so as we start off, I want to ask for your blessings to be upon this tithe and offering, not for here and not to build kingdoms here, but God, so that we can see that you are present in the midst of everything. And so God, just take all that we are and all that we aren't and accomplish your goals. Bless these gifts, bless each one of us to be in service to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
King, Lord of hosts, willingly we follow. Good morning. Today's reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Place your life before God. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you.
That's not a belch, okay? So he ate too much in Christmas time. What? Oh, yeah, sorry. Kids, you can head out. Go ahead. Hey, that's all right, you know. Our minds are thinking. They're like, I want to stay with a big kid. So don't worry, I am not, thank you. I'm not going ahead and putting on a New Year's outfit, so you don't have to worry. I'm not going to dress as Baby New Year today. I know some were worried about that, so, but I did get lots of comments on my suit that I switched into last week. I went to Walmart afterwards, and some people took pictures with me. Some people looked at me like I had five heads, but it was okay, so we had a good time. And I hope everyone had a really good Christmas. Am I on here? Yeah. I hope everybody had a really, really good Christmas and were able to go ahead and celebrate with family, take some time off, eat some food that you probably shouldn't have, right? Anybody eat anything you shouldn't have? Wasn't it amazing? How many have a New Year's resolution to lose weight now? There you go. There we go. All right. So today we are starting a new series called Creature of Habit. How many of you think that we are a creatures of habit, that we do things in several different ways? I did a quick search on some of the most annoying or bad habits, and I thought they were kind of interesting. One of the things that we saw was clicking. A guy who had a retractable pen. How many have ever sat next to somebody just click, 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 click? How many are that person? Okay, yeah, there you go. All right, somebody, she's got a clicker pen. Watch out. All right. So you've got them. What about the leg bounce? Anybody ever sat on a bench and somebody just bounces their leg? And you're like, would you stop? You know? So that's always an interesting one. Eating too fast. How many of you ever sat down with somebody, you've waited for a while for the meal, you sit down and they go, "Hump!" And they're like, okay, let's go. And you're like, wait, I haven't even started. You might have that. This is one that I think a lot of people have, changing the conversation to focus on themselves. Like you say, man, I really had a bad day. You know, the Christmas tree caught on fire and I lost all my presents. And then I belch like this guy up here on the video screen. And somebody says, yeah, I know, I had a backache. You know, and you're like, you know, like the worst thing could ever happen. And they always bring it around to themselves. How many know people like that? How many are people like that and you don't want to admit to it? There you go. All right. What about people? What about this one? People who are always apologizing. Because they're always doing something, so they're always apologizing for it. And after a while, the apology tends to go away. There's several of these. Has anybody have a conversation with these people who stop in mid-sentence? Hey, the other day we went to, tomorrow we're going to go, and you're like, no, I don't, finish a sentence. All right, what about people that say, always say like? Went to the like store and like. Got the present that I like, wanted to really like, you know, okay. How about people who dodge questions? What about people who waste, this one I thought was interesting, wasting napkins. They wipe their mouth and throw it away, I don't know. People with poor posture. What about those people who talk too loud? Like you go, hey, I want to talk to you. My dad has a whisper at an 8 billion decibels. He's like, hey, come here. I want to whisper. It's like just his voice, a little less shallow, okay? What about people who are sarcastic about absolutely everything? Too sarcastic. Oh, there you know some of them. I heard some of them. Humming when eating. You know people who hum or just humming all the time? What is there to hum about? All right, humming people. All right. What about people who avoid eye contact where you want to have a conversation and like, yeah, and they just don't look at you and you kind of, I remember one time I was part of a search committee for a job, and the person was teaching, and they were looking above our heads out, and I kept going. You know, anybody ever done that, seen that? People like that. What about people who interrupt people? Anybody ever know anybody interrupt people? Okay. Why is it just? Okay. All right. Nail biting. How many of us have nail biting? Okay, I have that. What about fake laughing? You guys do it every week, I know. All right, so there are several annoying. Can anybody think of any other annoying habits that people have? You don't want to tell them because they're yours. Okay, so one of the things that we look at, we're going to look at habit because habit tends to do some certain things. Will Durant, who's a writer, was writing, it's actually been attributed to Aristotle. It's not Aristotle. Aristotle said we learn our habits and our virtues by what we do. And so Will Durant actually coined this term and said this regarding what he believed, understanding of Aristotle, is we are what we repeatedly do. We are what we repeatedly do. So think about that. We are what we repeatedly do. In other words, we form habits, and then our habits go ahead and form us. So what we do ends up becoming who we are, time in and time out. So what I wanted to do this year, I wanted to start the new year with new habits. It's that time that we all focus. How many of you made any kind of New Year's resolution last year? Anybody? How many of you kept that? Okay. Okay, how many don't make New Year's resolutions anymore because you know you're going to not keep them? There you go. That's a bigger problem, and we'll talk about that today. So here's what I believe, and I want to start with this. I want to start with this, that I believe that most people have high-level hopes but low-level habits. We all hope. How many of you hope 2018 is going to be better than 2017? Anybody? How many hope that you'll make more money? How many hope that everybody will be healthy? How many hope that it'll just be a peaceful year all around? Yet hope's important because it gets us started on the path. Hope starts us out, but usually if we just hope, like for instance, if we hope that we're going to lose weight, I'm starting today. But eventually that cheeseburger and that pizza is going to come across my table. And I can keep on hoping, but when I eat it, guess what's going to happen? That chocolate cake and that ice cream, I've not found a diet ice cream that is worth its weight in anything. Anybody? Anybody found one that's good? I mean, that ice cream is like amazing. Chocolate cake is amazing. Why can't rice cakes be fat for you, right? That's what we need. But we need to hope, but we also need to change who we are in order to have the effects. We need to have good habits in order to have good results. And so in other words, where this says we have high hopes, we also want to reverse that. We also want to have high habits as well. Because often our hopes are here, but our follow-through is left to be desired. Now here's the good news. God gives us habits in his word, and if we follow them, he says, see what I'm going to do. Now I'm going to tell you, it's not easy because our habits tend to be low level. Our habits are easy. How many of you have ever tried to stop biting your fingernails? Or how many of you ever tried to stop smoking or whatever? How many ever tried to stop cursing or all those kind of things? And how many of you find that very difficult? Any of those things very difficult to stop, right? They're very difficult. Why? Because they're easy. And so we've got to go ahead and condition ourselves differently. But anything worthwhile, and I thought of this the other day. The other day I was on the elliptical, and I went ahead and I raised the incline up to go a little bit more difficult. And it was more difficult, but it has a better result. So what I was thinking about this, same thing in our habits. If our habits are at an incline, anything worth having is on an incline. It takes some effort to get to. It takes some effort to have. And so here's the good news. The good news is God is going to help us in this process. And so what I'm going to give to you today is some, and throughout the series, we're going to give four of them over the series, and it's going to be biblical principles to start the new year with. And we're going to... first thing we need to do is we need to move from excuses, okay? We got to say, okay, because we can find every excuse that we want to not to do these things, but we're going to go ahead, and I want you to just have an open mind and begin to do this. I want to tell you a story about a man who had excuses. He got pulled over by the policeman because he was swerving all over the road, and he had had lots to drink. So after he was asked to step out of the car, the police officer said, I'm going to have to give you a breathalyzer. And he said, no, you can't give me a breathalyzer because I'm an asthmatic. And if I do, then I'm going to go have an asthma attack, and then I'm going to pass out, and I could die, and that could be bad. He said, all right, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead, we're going to take you, we're going to get you a blood test. You can't do that. You can't do that because I'm a hemophiliac. If you do, then I'll lose all kinds of other stuff, and then the next thing you know, I'll be passed out, and it won't happen. He said, all right, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a urine test. He said, no, you can't do that. Can't do the urine test because you see I'm a diabetic and it'll be all thrown off and it's going to be bad, so you can't do that. It's diabetic. He said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you walk that straight line. He said, I can't do that because I'm drunk. All right, so what we have is eventually we got to stop making excuses for things in our life. And that's what I want you to go ahead and do today. I want you to take some time and not make excuses for why we cannot this next year. I want you to say, I need some habits in my life. We all need them. And so what I want to do before we begin, there's three things that are needed before we start this process. There are three things that we need to do. And number one is we've got to change our mind and recognize that we need hope for the future. We need to have some hope. Some of us have lost hope. Some of us because of the years or even because of this last year. We've lost an amount of hope because of what's happened to us, because of what's going on currently in our family, because of what's going on in our jobs, in our marriages. And the problem is that we have lost hope. But I want to share with you a terminology. I've used it before, and I think I actually gave a sermon on it one time. I don't know. I've been doing it for 21 and almost 22 years, so I don't remember what I did yesterday. But I will tell you this. It's two words that we need to adapt in our lives, and it's simply this. But God. Everybody say that with me. But God. Everybody say it with me again. But God. That means you can give me every situation, every reason why you should not have hope, and I'm going to tell you, but God. You see, because that's the only thing that makes things happen, but God. This world was lost and deserved eternal damnation, and we were sinful, and we needed to bust hell wide open, but God sent his son Jesus, right? Lazarus was dead, stinking in the tomb for 3 days, and Mary and Martha were like, Lord, if you had been here, this would happen, and guess what? But God, All right? So what I'm telling you, no matter what situation, no matter what you're dealing with, but God. And so let's look at this. I wanted to look at this. It's not on your notes, but I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about the woman at the well. The story of the woman at the well. Here's Jesus. One of the few times when he had the disciples with him that they weren't with him. And he was alone and he ran into this woman at the well. He was thirsty, went to the well. It was a time where they didn't come to the well for water. She came there because she had some, let's say, loose principles. She had some baggage in her life. And Jesus wanted a drink and asked her for a drink. And she said, I don't think you know who you're asking for this drink. And he said, yeah, I do. And he said, go home and tell your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, you're right. You have five of them, and one who you're with right now is not your husband. In other words, she's on the sixth person. The cool thing is she met the seventh man in her life that changed her entire life. Because guess what? From all that before, all that baggage that she carried into her whole life, she met Jesus. But God came into the midst of that situation. So no matter what she had and hopelessness in her life, but God was there in the moment and actually changed her. She ended up evangelizing the whole town because she had an encounter with God. And he says to her, when she meets Jesus, he says this, if you only knew the generosity of God and who I am. So when you say you don't have hope in your life, I want to tell you something, exactly what Jesus said. If you only knew the generosity of God and who he is, if you only knew, you should have hope. If you only knew. But God is there. So, because God has a great plan for you. I've shared this verse, it might have even last week, I think so. It's a famous verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? Prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a what? Hope and a future. Some of us, when we're looking back at 2017, we lost hope. We're looking ahead to 2018. We need to recapture hope. And here's one of the cool things. This is written when the Israelites are in captivity. And I would dare say that some of us watching or some of us here today may feel like there's parts of your life that have been placed in captivity because of life and situation. But God, he has a plan for hope and a future in here. So we want to embrace that. That's number one. Number two, after hope, we need repentance from the past. We need repentance from the past. Repentance is one of his words. That carries a lot of churchy weight to it. Repentance. You've heard me say it's about faith. It just means like a change of direction. A change of direction in your life. That you were where you were headed, you're saying, I'm not going back. I'm not going back there. I came across this situation. Some of you may have heard it. I think it has been used in certain areas of recovery and other types of things. It's called My Autobiography in 5 Chapters. Has anybody ever heard of that? Okay, great. Well, I'll share this with you. It says, here it's a story, and it says, I walk down the street, and there's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. That's chapter one. Chapter two, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again, and I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes so long to get out. That's chapter two. Chapter three, I walk down the same street, and there's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It's my fault. I get out immediately. That's the end of chapter three. Chapter four is this. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I gaze in as I walk around it. End of chapter four. Chapter five, I walk down another street. All right, we can continue down the same street time and time and time again, but eventually we have to come to a point of changing where we are. Those who have been in any kind of addiction or other kind of things, you can't walk down the same street. If you want to get through something, you can't walk down the same street. You can't continually down the same pattern that you once did time and time again and expect different results. You're going to end up in the same hole. Even if you're close to it, you're going to pay attention to it. Go another path, and that's what repentance is. Repent from your past. We all have past. Look at the person next to you and say, I know you're messed up. And say, because I am too. We are all messed up. We're on the same boat. None of us are holy. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means we all need something to repent from. Some of us may be worse in this society than others, but God doesn't look at it that way. He looks at that we all fall short of his glory. And so guess what? We all need repentance through Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, look at Paul. I think Paul's pretty important, don't you? I think the Apostle Paul is one of the most important people that ever was in Christianity because he wrote most of the New Testament. And he says this, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." Everybody say, forget it. Forget is what behind, and straining or pressing on toward what is ahead. I press on to the goal to win the prize, which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm a mess. And yet, I could constantly be reminded of who I was and who people say I am. The disciples didn't want to hang out with him early on after his conversion because they said, that's Saul who kills Christians and persecutes them. But it took Barnabas, a son of encouragement, to say, no, let's bring him into the fold. And he helped change Christianity for the better. That's number two. Number three, after our hope for the future and repentance, we need to develop high-level habits. And that's where we're going to be. We're going to talk about these biblical principles over the next few weeks. And I want to share with you the series theme verse. And that is what was shared with us today. Fix your attention on God. Everybody say that with me, that first section. Fix your attention on God. Say, everybody, one more time. Fix your attention on God. There are so many things in our life that keep us distracted. Am I right? How many were distracted? How many sat down one time this year and you started to read or you started to pray or you started to worship and something distracted you? Anybody? All the time it happens. It says, and you'll be changed from the inside out. So many of us try to change from the outside in, but it's a commitment from the inside out. Readily recognize that he wants what he wants from you. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings out the best in you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. We need to fix our eyes on Christ and develop that well-formed maturity that Christ has for us. And that's what we're going to do and seek to do in this first series to start the year. So let's look at habit number one. You ready? Are you ready? All right. Habit number one, focus on what I do first. Focus on what I do first. There is a principle of primacy or a principle of firstness throughout the scripture. And I can tell you, I can probably find out a lot about you by watching you in certain situations to find out what you'll do first. Anybody remember Candid Camera, where they would put things like dollars down and see what people would do, and they do all these kind of things? One of the famous videos I love when it shows conformity and things is the elevator scene where there's a guy in the elevator and these three people get on the elevator and turn facing the elevator like this. And you know what that person does? Gradually turns around with the rest of them. There's one scene where every couple minutes they turn away. And you know what the person does? Turns right with them. Constantly. That what we're looking at here is we want to focus on what we do first in all situations. The first things have a great power on our lives. And so we're going to share today three ways to live out that power, live out that habit of first. Number one, I'm sure you expected this. This is church. But put God first. Something we say a lot. But put God first. And I want to share this with you, and not judgmentally, because I preach to myself every week. But I just want to say this. If God is not first on your list, then he won't be there at all. Let me say that again. If God is not first on your list, because God does not like to be second. God does not like to be a runner-up. God refuses to be a runner-up in your life. And why does he do that? He also models that. He gave us his first. He gave us his first and only son to suffer and to die and raise again for us. He displayed that. And that's the heart of Christianity. The heart of Christianity is not about all the other cool stuff that we do. The heart of Christianity is putting God first in your life and making sure God is first in your life in all things that you do. I might be taking this a little bit out of context, but I find this scripture very interesting. Let's go to Genesis 1:1. Everybody know what that is? You can open the beginning of your Bible, and as soon as you get through the early stuff, it's right there. Genesis 1:1 says this. Read this with me. In the beginning, God. Okay, so yeah, God created the heavens, the earth, this. But I want you to stop with that. In the beginning, God. The first of everything is God. He says, I am Alpha, which is the beginning, and Omega, the end. The first and the last. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. In the beginning, God, he is first, and he wants to be first, and he desires to be first, and he won't accept to be anything else. If we make this our life mantra, so you get up in the morning, you go to work, you come to church, you do all this stuff, you say, in the beginning, God, God first. And see how that changes things. That's no mistake that this is the reason why it's number one of the commandments. The first section of the commandments are all about God. In other words, he didn't put it down at the bottom and say, oh, by the way, make sure that you make me first. Make sure that you don't have this. Look at what he says. The first of the Ten Commandments says this. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Look at this. You shall have what? No other little g gods before me. What is that? That is loves and passions. Okay, yes, it could be idols and other things, but it's loves and passions. Does not mean that God doesn't like us to have loves and passions. You guys know I love sports. You guys know that I love computers. I love all kinds of stuff like that. God is not saying that's you can't have that. What he's saying is it just can't be above me. God is saying that all those other kinds of good things, some of those New Year's resolutions to get healthy, some of those New Year's resolutions to go back to school, all those things are good, but they can't take primacy over God, is what he says. You shall have nothing over me. And that seems like a lot, doesn't it? So how do we do that? Okay, Jack, that's great. You told me that. So how do we do that? How do we do this? Well, first thing is put God first. Next thing is we have to give God the first of everything. Everything. Now, before we get really nervous here, I want to tell you, when we've heard tithing messages, I want to share with you that I think many pastors do it wrong. Many pastors preach on tithing just to get money. And I would dare say that tithing is part of that financially. But it is a small part of what God wants you to do. God wants you to tithe of other things in your life. He wants you to tithe of everything in your life, your time, your gifts. You know how many times there are so many gifted people in the body of Christ that keep it to themselves and never use it for the kingdom of God? And as I read the scripture, it says the gifts are for the edification and the building up of the church. I really believe the church universal is in the mess that it is because people are not utilizing and tithing of their gifts to God, first and foremost. I believe those things are more important. Like, I can tell you, in my family, we need money to live. But it is a small portion of what makes up my family. With me? Without money, I'd still have a family. It'd be a little bit different, but I'd still have a family, hopefully. Okay? So God is saying that too. And so what we're saying is, tithing is not always about getting money to do projects. You need to give this to do this project and that project and do this thing and that thing. It's not always about that. That's great that we're able to do that because in our culture, it does take finances to do that. And many of you have been so awesome in those things. But what I believe God wants more is more of you, your life, time in and time out. Look at what it says in Leviticus 27. It says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. In other words, when you give of your life, when you give of your everything, your gifts, it belongs to the Lord. And what is the purpose of tithing? What is the purpose of that? It's not to fill budgets in the church. It's not for that. It's a portion of it, but it's not that. Here's what it's for. In Deuteronomy 14:23, it says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God in first place in your life. That's in the scripture. God wants to be first. God, I'm not going to say wants to be, desires to be first. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have anything else ahead of me. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty guilty of a lot of stuff ahead of God in my life. In other words, he wants everything that we have. He wants to be first in our life. So there's four ways to give God the first of everything. Four ways. And I'm going to share these, and we're all going to be good, okay? And we're going to start the year off right, correct? All right. So here we go. First one is, I need to give God the first of my year. And what a great way. Here we are at the first of the year. The first of my year. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to go ahead and do this? okay? I'm going to ask, Liz, can you go ahead and pass one out? I need one as well. We're gonna bring some things here. On February 1st through the 14th, we are going to embrace something called 14 Days of Prayer and Fasting for our church, okay? Prayer and fasting. Because I think it's a great way, in the midst of this series, to go ahead and decide, God, I want to put you first in my year. As a church, we want to put you first and foremost in our year. And so as you're getting one of the, put together this very basic, like, five-minute kind of synopsis on 14 days of prayer and fasting. And here's the cool thing. You have a choice in this. You have a choice in all this. But I want to go through some of these very quickly and tell you why I really believe God wants that. It's your personal fast. And it should present a challenge, but it's very important to know your body, your options, and most importantly, seek God, prayer, the Holy Spirit, and also medically as well. So here's the first thing. And these are all biblical types of fasts. The first thing, and I know many of you are receiving this right now, and we'll get this up on the web for anybody else in the next couple of weeks to go ahead and have this. The first thing is a complete fast. And this is a type of fast where you drink only liquids, water with light juices. Now, again, I say some people have done that, and I've known people who've done that, and you may want to. I would say, definitely say check with a doctor and everything else if that's something that you want to do. I would dare say that's not the majority of people that would do that, and that's okay. Okay? It's not like I complete fast and you don't. We're not. That's not what it's about. It's about you and God. I'm not going to go ahead and ask you to sign up for these, each one. The next one is a selective fast. And this type of fast involves removing certain elements from your diet. So one type of this is the Daniel fast. How many have heard of the Daniel fast? Okay, the Daniel fast, in which you remove meat, sweets, and bread from your diet and consume water, juice, fluids, fruits, and vegetables for your food. Daniel lived off of that and was healthier. And we talked about Daniel in 2017. So some people say, hey, I want to go ahead and try a Daniel fast. And we have a lot more materials that we can give to you if you're interested in this. Some people want to do what is called a partial fast, or many have heard called a Jewish fast. And it involves abstaining from eating any type of food in the morning and the afternoon. And this can correlate to specific times of day, such as the times of prayer at 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. or from sunup to sundown. And some people have done that partial fast, and then when the sun goes down, because for the Jews, Jewish people, that starts the next day. And so they go ahead, and then they'll feast that way. Here's one that I think everybody can do. And Debbie and I wrestled with a name. It's called the Stuff Fast. Didn't you like it? The Stuff Fast. This fast is a great option if you don't have much experience with fasting food, have health issues that prevent you from fast food, or wish to refocus certain areas of your life that are out of balance. For example, you might want to stop using social media or stop watching television for the duration of the fast, and then carefully bring that element back into your life in healthy doses at the conclusion of the fast. What's the reason for this? This is biblical, and we don't talk about it a lot in the church. And I just really felt God was talking to me about that I needed to do this, and that also to share with the church how I'd love for everybody to participate in some level. We all have something, and what's really cool is it ends right before Lent. So Lent is on Valentine's Day, so you might say, hey, I want to give this up, and I'm going to keep on giving up for Lent. Or you may prepare you for something, but I really believe it's an opportunity for us as a church to say, okay, God, we are going to put you first. And also with that, we are going to provide other opportunities for prayer. We're going to provide opportunities for prayer sessions and all kinds of different things. And so we're in the workings of that. So February 1st through the 14th. So we got one whole month that's going on, and we have 14 days. And I love the fact that it ends on Valentine's Day. So if you're doing some kind of fast, it can end on Valentine's Day. You and your honey can go have a good meal, and then Ash Wednesday, so you can eat some pancakes. I don't know why people are always eating pancakes on that day, but you can go have some of that stuff too. So we want to go ahead and tell God, I want to go ahead and make you first. And I really believe that I need this, our church needs this, because I'm going to tell you, if God does not show up in 2018, we are doing nothing. I can tell you that. If God does not show up here, I can do nothing, you can do nothing. And God has to be first in our church. So I want you to take a look at some of that. right? So there are lots of resources that we went through there. Everybody good? All right. So number three. So if we do that, if we put God first and put give God the first of everything, here's what begins to happen. We give God the first of the year. We got to give God the first of our month. Give God the first of the month. And how do we do that? How do we get God the first of the month? I'm gonna talk something which I hate, two things I hate, but I'm going to share with you. Two words. Scheduling. How many like the schedule? How many hate the schedule? All right. Scheduling, and another thing, you're going to hate this word, is a B word, budgeting. How many like both of those? How many hate both of them? There you go. It's a great way to put God first in your life, to put God first in your budget, to put God first in your schedule. But in other words, when you look at your schedule for the month and you say, God, where are you in this? What are the things that are keeping me from you? Where are the things that are putting you over here and putting me center here and putting other things center? So look at that in the first of the month. Next thing, what do you think it is? We have year, month. Not yet, week. You forgot the week. Put God the first in a week. You guys who are here, look at everybody. That person that you said you're messed up, say congratulations and shake their hand. Congratulations. You put God first in your week. You're here, or you're part of worshiping God today. Here, you put God first in your week. The reason, historically, the Sabbath was Saturday. It was the end of the week. Why did it get changed? Because, number one, when Jesus rose from the dead, it was on Sunday, and they wanted it to start and became known as the Lord's Day. But also, the organized church says, we don't want God at the end of the week. We want to start our week with God first. Make it first and foremost in our lives. We need God for that. And so that's why we're here. The resurrection of the Lord's Day and not ending the week but beginning. And what are two things that you do here? You worship and you rest. Okay? One of the biggest challenges to you, it may not be fully Sunday for you, but make a full Sabbath day in your week. God rested. He wasn't tired when he created, but he did that for us. Jesus said, man, Sabbath was made for the man and woman, not reversed. Okay? God wants you to rest. How many of you ever said, I got so much to do, and you get still on like a Sunday, and next thing you know, you're like, anybody ever done that? Isn't that like the greatest sleep you ever had when you don't expect it? Maybe plan it in. Plan time with God for your week to have that. I want to challenge you to look. We have 52 weeks in a year. I think we don't have a leap year next year, do we? Okay. So we have 52 weeks in a year. How would your life change if you made God the beginning of your week for 52 weeks in the year? How would that change your life? I would also say if you make a Sabbath, you'll get more done in 6 days with God than 7 days without him. If you don't believe me, ask Chick-fil-A. Right? Ask Chick-fil-A. Okay? Okay, now what's the last one? Day, there you go. God, the first of my day. Even if you are so pressed for time, you wake up late, you hit the alarm, just say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Woo! And then get on with it. Even though it's that much. But I want to give you some principles about the power of first. You can do it anytime, yes, during the day with God, but there is power in the first. And so I want to share with you a terminology, the first 15. First 15. We have how many days a year? 365 and like a third or something, isn't that right? All right. So first 15, I believe everybody can give the first 15 to God. It's something I'm going to embrace myself. It may be tough to commit, but remember, the incline is always worth the result when you get there. So here's what I'm going to say to do. It may be more, it may be less for you. You may say, I got that. So here we go. Spend the first five minutes, spend it in the Word of God. Might be a chapter, might be a psalm. We have the one-year Bible that we put up every day on Facebook and on our page that links to there. That's usually about 10 minutes. But if you have 5 minutes, read the Psalm, read the New Testament, read the Old Testament, read the Proverb that day from the one-year Bible. Take 5 minutes and just read something in the Word of God. Get something in the Word of God first thing in the morning. Number two, 5 minutes of prayer. Take 5 minutes, just pray to God. 5 minutes, pray to God and see about the difference that begins to happen there. And the last thing of the 15 is 5 minutes in worship. That's one song. You might just plop it on, and you got your iPod, and you go, So I'll shout out your name. You might be washing your hand and shout. From the rooftops I proclaim that I am yours. You know, right? Like that. Whatever. I am yours. Whatever you got to do, right? That 5 minutes. Drive everybody else in your house crazy with that 5 minutes of worship. Worshiping God. Spend that time in worship. 15 minutes. I think we can all do that. 15 minutes. And if you took 15 minutes a day for 365 days a year, I guarantee it will change your life in some way. I guarantee it will. And if you do this, if you do all these things, you get number three. Expect God to bless the rest. Expect God to bless the rest. How do I know that? It's biblical. Seek first the kingdom of God. What did it say? What was that word? Seek? Seek what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you as well. If you seek him first, all these things will be added. If we give God the first, he multiplies it. Remember that little boy? He didn't even give a tithe. He gave everything he had, loaves and fish. He said, here you go. And there was enough baskets left over after feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. There could have been 15,000 people there, and God made it more left over. He did it again with 4,000. You don't think that he can't do it in your life? God can, if you give God your thoughts, he's going to multiply them. If you give God your strength, he's going to multiply that. If you give God your time, I guarantee you God will multiply your time. There's been times where I've had to sit down and work on the message and do everything else, and I say, there's no way I have time. And somehow, miraculously, God amazingly figures it out. Right? In the scripture, he made the sun stand still, and sometimes I think he does. Sometimes I think he does in the midst of that. Proverbs 3, 6 through 10, as our worship team comes up. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be what? Filled to overflowing. And your vats will brim over with new wine. New wine is a symbol of blessing. How many of you want to be blessed by God this next year? How many of you, more importantly, want to be a blessing to God? Be a blessing to him in this year. I do. I want to see what God has. So this week, we're talking about the first. Okay, that's our first thing. Look at what you do first. This week, analyze what you do first. Next week, it'll come up in a little bit, but next week, the title is number two. Okay, so you got to come back next week and figure it out. Let's stand and worship God as we close out this 2017 in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we are here today, saying goodbye to a year where you showed up in many different ways and places, even where we didn't expect it, God. But right now, I just want to thank you for bringing us through another year and for finding us faithful, finding the people here faithful in your church. And God, Scripture says, eye has not seen, ears not heard what the Father has prepared for those who love him. And so, God, we love you, and we're going to put you first in this year, in our month, in our weeks, in our days, in everything in our lives. So, God, here, receive the first of our prayers and our concerns. Give us hope where there wasn't hope. And God, help us just to begin to repent from those things that we just don't have clear. But more importantly, let us recognize but God. God, if this room here only knew, if the people watching or if the people out in the street or the people riding on the road only knew who you are, it would change this world forever. God, we need you more than ever before. Move mightily in this room for those who need to accept you as their Lord and Savior and open their heart and need to go that different direction. God, do that right now. Let them say, I need a Savior, and you're it. I'm going to start this year off by making you first in my life and becoming a Christian. For the rest of us who, we may have had some life, all of us, who have all have messed up this whole kind of journey, God, go ahead and just get us right back on the path. Make you first. We love you. The altar's open. Whatever prayers that we have, we pray right now for our brother Rodney. It's getting medical help right now. And God, we pray that your strength will fill him and that he will be strong and that he'll be healthy and be with his wife, Jane, as she's with him. Whatever, God, Satan does not have a stronghold on this church or on anything that you've called us to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Awesome way to finish 2017.
under the glorious grace of God. One of the things I just want to say is, I know Becky's not here today, but this worship team is truly a blessing. I know Cooper's been part of it, and Fred sang with us too. And it's just been such a blessing. Wayne's leadership for us here just prepares an attitude for worship every week. And there's no break for these guys. There's no holiday. We just keep on getting it. And it's just an incredible experience to be able to worship with these guys here, and to just be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit in many ways. So I'm thankful for them, and I know it's going to be an awesome 2018, and where God's going to lead us in worship and prayer as we seek Him first. Amen. So next week we're going to have it number two. Have to come back next week and get it, but just think about it. Hint, hint. And so just have a great and happy New Year, whatever that means. I think it's an odd holiday, but hey, it worked. Should old acquaintance be forgot, so you can forget all those people you met this year and you never brought to mind. Weird song. But enjoy, and don't just eat sauerkraut or fruit cake or something. I don't know, whatever it is. But have a great year, 2017. Let's start again. Have an awesome year in Jesus. Amen.